Well, happy Transfiguration Day to you all. This isn't really a day we celebrate with greetings or cards or family gatherings. What even is this day? What does it mean? I think it's a day we remember that God is mysterious. It's a day we join Peter and John and James and the Israelites in awe of God's majesty and power. It's a day that leaves me not quite sure what to say, except God is awesome and beyond my understanding. Maybe we can look at our text to give us a clue about what God is doing here. In our Exodus reading, Moses went up the mountain to talk with God. And when he came down, he was different. His face was shining. With his shiny face, he spoke to Aaron and the leaders of the congregation, and then to all the Israelites, giving them God's commands and telling them what God had spoken to him. And then after he's done speaking, he puts a veil over his face so that people aren't staring at him all the time. When Moses is in the presence of God, he becomes shiny, just like Jesus did on a mountain too. Moses keeps the veil on until he goes in to talk with God again. And when he sees God on the mountain, he removes the veil so that there is nothing separating him from speaking with the Lord. 2 Corinthians says that only in Christ is that veil between us and God really taken away. This is because we know God through Christ. We know God closer than we ever have before. Jesus showed us the way and the truth and the light of God. And Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to be in our hearts so that God could live within us. Through the Holy Spirit, we're freed from the veil. There is no separation between God and us. Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to be God's presence, a gift given to the world after he was resurrected and then ascended into heaven. That's what happened on Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit blew through the world, lighting fires above people's heads and helping them to speak and understand different languages. Even though we can't really do that today, not very easily anyway, we recognize faith in others throughout the world and that we all have access to God in Christ, even though we're not all united in our churches, sadly. We are changed by the gift of the Spirit, as we just sang, changed from glory into glory. When we have God's Spirit in us, we're filled with God's glory, and we see it reflected in the world. In Jesus' gift of the Holy Spirit, God's glory is set loose. There's no more veil and no division between God and us. I remember being in church as a child and hearing the gospel read from Matthew chapter 27. And this is what happens on Good Friday. As Jesus is dying, there the veil in God's temple in Jerusalem that separated the holiest place on earth was completely torn in two from top to bottom. And that just caught me. I thought, what is happening here? What is the significance of this veil? The veil was a long woven curtain. It was purple and scarlet and blue, and its purpose was to separate the most holy place, which held the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat. And sitting on top of that ark was a gold lid. This was the place where the Most High Priest would sprinkle the blood of an innocent to take away the sins of the people. If anyone walked behind the veil, and they were not the high priest, and they did not do so on the Day of Atonement, that person would immediately die. It was a protection against the casual trespassing upon the most holy place, which represented the very real presence of God. The veil was a symbol of the separation between God and God's people. It marked the boundary between God's holiness and our sins. It wasn't possible to go beyond the veil because our sin separated us from God. Jesus died at the exact moment that that sacrifice for Passover was held. At the same time that Jesus breathed his last breath, that temple veil was torn. The veil being torn by God himself was a symbol of the fact that our separation from God had been removed. Now, this veil was not like a curtain you see in a movie or a curtain you have on your windows at home. It was 60 feet long, 30 feet wide, and 4 inches thick. It was so massive and heavy, it took 300 priests to move it. So the point here is that nobody could have torn this veil themselves. It would take more than human strength to do it. Only God could do this. In the reading from Luke, we hear about the division between heaven and earth being blurred or torn again on a mountaintop. Jesus changes into something otherworldly, and Moses and Elijah, who were already up in heaven, are seen standing on earth with Jesus. Jesus becomes different. His face changed and his clothes became dazzling white. And a voice shouted from a cloud, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." And then things went back to normal, kind of. So what was this all about? What do the broken boundaries between earth and heaven mean for us here today? But above all of these questions, I've been wondering as I read these texts again, I've been thinking, is there a veil between God and us today? And if so, what is it? What keeps us from being in God's presence? Do we cling too heavily to the law? Do we divide ourselves from the poor, the hungry, the imprisoned, and in doing so, put ourselves on the other side of the veil from Christ, who's always on the outsides? Do we tell some people that they are outside of God's grace and call? Do we refuse to forgive others or ourselves? All these things put up barriers between us and God. Sin is a divide between God and us, but it doesn't have to be. Not anymore. We have forgiveness in Christ. God has been working throughout history to bridge this divide, and he did it once and for all through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. In our Bible study this week for Lydia Circle, we heard that God is more interested in your future than in your past. God is more interested in your future than in your past. God calls us to set aside our past. God calls us to let go of our panicky thoughts and our attempts to control situations like Peter did. God says, when you don't know what to say, just don't say anything. So maybe we should never preach on transfiguration. You were thinking it, weren't you? Let God be God, full of mystery and grace, changing us from glory into glory, dazzling us with brilliant light. And always remember, this is my son, my chosen. Listen to him. So let's put aside our fears and our sins and all the things that separate us from Christ and stand together in awe of his glory and power. Fear is something that keeps us from God. It puts us in a room alone, whether we separate ourselves physically or mentally. But if we open our eyes, if we let go of that fear, we can see more clearly God's faithfulness to us, whether it's over the past year or thinking back 5 years or 10 years or through your whole life. We can see ourselves, if we look back, being transformed and changed by knowing Christ. Can you see that? Can you see how God has changed you over the past year or 5 or 10 or even more? How has knowing Jesus changed your life? And if it hasn't, what veil needs to be torn away to make that happen? So take a moment to think and pray about this. And you're really lucky. I'm going to be kind of nice to you. I was at a meeting yesterday and they said, you should have people talk about stuff after the sermon, but I won't make you talk today. It might be coming. But promise me you'll really think about this. How has knowing God changed your life? And maybe you want to talk about it at home or with a friend that you trust. But please do think and pray about that, because that is the most important reason why we are all here together, to be changed by Jesus. And we know that God can do it. God can change even the most stubborn and sinful of us. God changed the world through Christ, and there's no reason he can't change you too. Amen.